This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, tonight's topic, inshallah, is around the topic of divorce and some of the top reasons why many Muslims and non-Muslims find themselves down this track of divorce, and what are some of the suggestions that we could propose to safeguard, inshallah ta'ala, from divorce and the ramifications of divorce, because with divorce comes some serious ramifications, be it, subhanAllah, grief, depression, stress, children, what happens to them, be it your focus, finances. So we really want to ensure that our marriages, inshallah ta'ala, are going to be at their optimal, so that we don't become a part of the sad statistics. So we're going to get right into it, inshallah, and then we're going to have a question and answer session where there's probably going to be a lot of questions around this hot topic, inshallah. So bismillah, one of the first things that we want to make sure after we get married, or even before we get married, to ensure that you do get married to the right person, that you're going to be happily married, is that you've done two things before the marriage. So this is for the singles, right? You need to make sure you've done your due diligence. You need to make sure that you have done your istishara. You've asked all the right questions to the proposed spouse. You've asked about that person, inshallah ta'ala. So you want to make sure that the person that you're marrying, you're compatible with, that you share the same vision. There'll be a lot of questions that you need to ask. So for example, today I was counseling a brother, and he was telling me about how he's not too sure whether he should proceed with a marriage or not. And the main question was around how he doesn't want for his future wife to work once they have children. Okay, so he said to me, he had that conversation with her, and she hasn't given him a very straightforward answer. And I said to him, that's not very good, because that makes you uncertain, and you are giving the impression that you are negotiable in this area. If this is something that you don't want, you need to communicate that from now, so later on, there isn't she said, or he said, or you didn't tell me. So from the before the marriage, it's very, very important that you know what you want. You know what your vision is, your expectations are. What are the roles of your wife? Inshallah, what are your roles going to be? It's better to be transparent. Don't be a person who's just going to wing it later on. It's better to be transparent. Communicate your expectations, your values, your needs, inshallah, before that. Once you've done your istishara, you do your istikhara. Your istikhara is you're reaching out to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're doing your two rak'at, and then you're making your dua, and you're asking Allah, if there is khayr, if there is goodness, make it happen, ya Allah. If it's not good for me, ya Allah, drive me away from it, distance it away from me, and give me better. So that means you have full tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal, and there's no room for emotions here. You put your emotions to the side, especially before marriage. Put your emotions to the side, put the good looks to the side, put all that to the side. You need to have that conversation, otherwise you may end up marrying a person that you are going to have problems with. So that's before the marriage and leading into the marriage, inshallah ta'ala. Now, one of the things to maintain your marriage and to ensure that there's barakah in your marriage, that you don't go down the path of divorce, that your marriage doesn't become your test because of your sins. Because of your sins. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever of misfortune befalls you is due to what your own hands have earned, and He pardons much. So it's really, really important that you keep away from sins, that you are fulfilling your commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because at the end of the day, Allah Azza wa Jal is in control of the hearts. Allah is in control of the heart of your spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. That those who believe and they do righteous deeds, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, will instill affection, meaning He instills affection in the hearts of others towards you. So subhanAllah, we need to make sure that we are not compromising on anything that is haram, so that it doesn't impact the marriage and the relationship. And that's one of the first things that I ask as a marriage counselor. Tell me about your relationship with Allah. Tell me about your connection with Allah. Because if that's not, we need to start with the foundation. Because if that's not solid, then it could be one of the greatest causes and reasons why there's no barakah, there's no blessing in your marriage, subhanAllah. So I remember an incident whereby a couple had problems, and they called the sheikh over, and the sheikh came to their newly built home, and he said to them, how did you purchase such a beautiful home? Was it through the bank? And they said, yes. And he said, assalamu alaikum. Right? So straight away he walked out. He said, look, there's no barakah in here. That's probably one of the main reasons why, you're going through what you're going through in your marriage, and you're experiencing what you're experiencing. You don't want to spoil the relationship with Allah. You don't want to do that. You want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the priority. Always, there's no compromise on the deen of Allah azza wa jal. So this is the first one. The first major thing that I would want all couples and all potential couples to be mindful of is taqwa Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You know this concept of taqwa and Allah providing a way out of hardship and difficulty, it's repeated I think four times at least in which surah? Surah At-Talaq. الطلاق. The chapter pertaining to divorce is the chapter that Allah is reminding us again and again of taqwa. In Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the rules and regulations regarding divorce, there's some regulations, right? Shortly after that, he says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى. Maintain your prayers, preserve, muhafaza, preserve your prayers and the middle prayer. The ulama were a little bit baffled, the commentators of the Quran, they said, subhanAllah, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about salah immediately after these verses about divorce. And they said, there must be a connection between divorce and between your connection with Allah, because the salah is the silah. It's the connection between you and Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you need to make sure that your wife is praying, that your husband is praying, that your money is from halal, that you're not engaging in haram. Okay, especially as a husband, you the husband, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you the imam. You are the imam of the house. Yani even if a shaykh came to your house and you know how to lead the prayer, you have more right to lead the prayer in your home than the shaykh himself. Why? Because you are Rabbul Manzil. You are the Lord of the house, right? You are the imam and you need to lead by example. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran waquduha an-nas wal hijara. He says, oh, you who have believed, protect yourself and your family. Your family here is your wife. You have a duty, I have a duty as a husband to be the leader, to be the qawwam. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa. Leadership, not dictatorship. Leadership. You're a leader, you're an imam. And you lead by example. And you remember the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rifqan bil qawarir. Go easy on the fragile vessels. You remember the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma kana ar-rifqu fi shay'in illa zana. Wa ma nuzi'a min shay'in illa shana. When you apply gentleness, the situation is going to be beautiful. You want to apply force and you want to be aggressive. What's going to happen? Naturally, the wife, many a times, yes, you're probably saying the right thing. She will rebel. She will rebel, even though it's unjustified, but naturally as a human being, you will find in many cases, the woman will rebel. So it's important to have hikmah, as a husband in the house. What is hikmah? قَوْلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي. Hikmah means that you say the right words at the right time, in the right manner, in the right tone, right place. Maybe this isn't the time or place to have this conversation, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that, a bit more. We'll talk about respect, inshaAllah ta'ala. So the first point that we must ensure in our homes is taqwallahi azza wa jal, that we prioritize Allah azza wa jal. The pious predecessors, you know what they used to say? They used to say this, repair your relationship with the Creator and He will repair your relationship with the creation. See, our hearts being connected, this is all from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's going to ensure that the hearts remain connected when your heart is connected to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let's move on to point number two. Point number two from amongst the top reasons that could lead to divorce is infidelity. Now, this is a very broad word in this day and age. Okay, infidelity, and everyone's going to have a somewhat different interpretation of this word. Infidelity means cheating, and there is full-fledged cheating. It could be zina, all right? There could be cheating that's halal. It could be you married a second wife, right? It's halal, but to your wife, you cheated on me. Right, and I want out, and I don't want to be in this marriage. Right, that's her interpretation of this word infidelity or cheating. Or it could be that, you know, you're looking at inappropriate images. That's a form of cheating. I know of a case that they got divorced because the husband was addicted to inappropriate images, and she left him. She didn't want to stay with him. That's why she became insecure and what have you. Right, when it comes to not lowering the gaze, that's very very. We have to be very careful. Okay, especially the woman has a lot of jealousy, right? The jealousy that's innate in a woman. It's innate for her to have this jealous nature about her, right? And so subhanAllah, it's important to be mindful of that, inshaAllah ta'ala. But we do see cheating, being on dating apps or dating websites, texting through social media, or befriending the opposite gender on social media. This can fall all under this very broad heading of infidelity, of cheating, of not being loyal towards your wife. Okay, so we have to be very, very careful. There was a couple, and I know this brother had subhanAllah, had come in, and the wife said how she discovered over one year ago, how he'd gone to some club with some boys, and they were dancing, and she's got the evidence because it just showed up on the phone somehow, these social media apps, and some people sharing, or what have you, or anniversaries, and it showed up, right? And then she's now, oh my God, can't believe you cheated on me, you were dancing with other women, and this and that, and I went out, and subhanAllah, it's gonna, the sins are gonna come back and haunt you. Okay, so inshallah ta'ala, we'll move on to the next number three from amongst the most contributors to that leads to divorce is the lack of anger management or the lack of emotional intelligence, disrespect, not knowing how to contain your emotions. You have a very short fuse. You always explode. You don't know how to handle this. The slightest thing, and you it could be because you're very sensitive. It could be because you have your own insecurities, right? And it might be that, or it could be you only know how to disagree in the way your father disagreed with your mother, or your mother disagreed with your father, and they are the template for your disagreements for you, and that's what you've learned how to disagree, shouting, screaming, and what have you, right? There was a study I was reading about 700 couples that were over 65 years old who had been married for over 30 years, and they wanted to know, like, what are the secrets? You've been married for 30 years, plus, what can you tell us? What was it for you? And when they looked at the study, they saw there was one thing that stood out, that those couples that were in healthy relationships, right, what they saw is that they were able to sit down, discuss an issue without shouting, without screaming, without disrespect, right, being assertive, okay, having standards, having akhlaq, right, and discussing the situation. Because there's always going to be situations. We're not meant to agree on everything. We can put a mas'ala, we can put an issue right here, and maybe we'll be pre-divided maybe in five groups as to we have difference of opinion. That's okay, you can have difference of opinion. The ulama had difference of opinion. There are even more than four madhabs and more than one yani opinion. And even within a madhab, you have more than one opinion, right? So what that tells us is it's not a problem that we have difference of opinion. The problem that we have is we have, many of us, we're disrespecting when we have difference of opinion. Of course, we're not talking about aqidah. We're not talking about matters of creed that there is ijma' on the issue, or matters of fiqh where there's ijma', for example, about the issue. We're talking about issues that, you know, day-to-day issues we can differ on, right? There must be akhlaq. And the problem is many of us don't have the skills. And that's why I would encourage you, if you have issues with your emotions, with your anger, if you have issues, I recommend that you obsess and you start working on your weakness. In this case, if it's anger management issues, that you start to become a more emotionally intelligent human being, that you know how to be diplomatic, that you know how to be respectful, that you know how to not be rude, okay, and that you don't have to shout. You don't have to shout to bring your point across, right? That takes practice. That takes knowledge. And hence, subhanAllah, when we go back through the Quran and look at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, we see words and advice like, لا تغضب, when the man asked the Prophet ﷺ three times, he said, أوصني يا رسول الله, give me advice. He said, لا تغضب, three times, do not get angry, right? Because anger is going to paralyze your thinking and you're not going to say the right things or do the right things, okay? And in the story of Prophet Musa عليه السلام, when he was angry, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فلما سكت عنه الغضب, then when the anger had subsided, he took the tablets. He was angry and he was about to do an action, but he waited for his anger to subside. Right? And that's what we know. There is even a hadith of walking away. There's even the story of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa arda. He had a fallout with his missus. Who's his missus? Huh? Fatima radiallahu anha, right? So the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? They have an altercation. And what does he do? Did he, when the Prophet sallallahu came over to their house and he's saying, where's Ali? You know, yeah, he says, you know, where's your cousin? And then she said, well, you know, we had a fallout and he left. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to find him. This teaches us that when you hear that a couple have got a problem, that one of the best things that you can do is to try and help. Even if you don't have the knowledge, you're not a counselor, just say, hey, I heard you had a fallout with your wife, I'm here for you. Are you okay? Do you need anything? That's Islam. That's brotherhood. That's loving for your brother what you love for yourself. You check up on each other, right? So subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks for him. Where does he find him? In the masjid, right? And when he finds him in the masjid, he's got his upper garment, his rida had come off his shoulders, and he's got all dust on his shoulders. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, Qum ya Aba Turab, you know, stand, get up, Abu Turab. He gave him this nickname, father of the dust, because it was all covered in dust, Abu Turab. And he became known as Abu Turab, right? So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, what this teaches us is when you have a problem, you need to learn how to have time out from your partner so the situation doesn't escalate. And you need to practice that. And you get good at it if you practice it. What I also suggest is to have rules between you and your wife. That, hey, if either of us are angry, let's agree right now that we will communicate, hey, I'm angry and I'm going to be left alone. That we both agree that we'll give each other the space. Because if we don't, this could escalate and this could lead to saying hurtful things or doing something that we regret, okay, or even saying the words of divorce, right? And that's not what we want. So one of your escapisms when you are stressed out at home should be the masjid. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu has set that precedence. He set that example to show us. And subhanAllah, you notice when Ali went to the masjid, the rescue came, and the best of the rescuers came none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So subhanAllah, you will find your answer in the masjid. Unfortunately, I know many brothers and even sisters that when they get stressed out and they are very anxious and they're really in a bad state, they'll go to drugs, or they go gambling, or they'll talk to another the opposite gender, or they'll go do something haram. So you need to be intentional about your go-to whenever you are stressed out, and that you have rules with your partner to say, hey, when we have a fight, what do the rules look like in our home? Because we want to ensure that the problem is the problem. You're not the problem. I married you. If you're a problem, I wouldn't have married you. You're not the problem. The problem is the problem. And we will have problems. And you will not see eye to eye to everything. And that's why, inshaAllah ta'ala, you need to ensure you have good anger management. There's a book by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Munajjid, Correcting People's Mistake, The Methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a really good book to teach you how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he diffused many difficult situations through hikmah, through wisdom, and يعني, through having the insights that he has. I recommend this book, inshallah ta'ala, and just any lecture you can get your hands on when it comes to managing your anger. The next one that I want to talk about is family interference. Families interfering with the marriage, with the life of their child. That's another big one, the in-laws. You could probably look up any scholar online and type in in-laws and the scholar's name, and you'll probably find that that scholar is talking about boundaries and how to deal with difficult in-laws and navigating difficult in-laws, right? Family interference is big. So here I want to specifically touch on one point. If you have a problem with your husband or your wife, okay, I would recommend going to your family directly, like to your mum or to your dad. That could be dangerous for the relationship. Why? Because what I have seen is that they end up controlling the situation, and they end up locking their child, or guilt-tripping the child, or they will use emotional blackmail because it gets a bit more personal then, or they may have already had issues with their son-in-law or their daughter-in-law. So it's better to go to somebody who's neutral, who's not going to take sides, who's not emotionally connected to this, so the situation doesn't escalate. So family interference seems to be one of the reasons why a lot of marriages or some marriages end up in divorce, because they get involved and the child doesn't know. They want to please their parents. They want to go back. They're caught between a rock and a hard place, as they say. Okay. So if you are a parent yourself, okay, and you don't, yani, I would recommend that you always try and include a third party, an elder, a sheikh, somebody who has wisdom and insight to ensure the best outcome, inshallah ta'ala. Another one that I want to discuss, and this is point number 5, is around trauma. So there are some of us who've gone through issues in our younger years, okay? Either we had abusive parents, or our parents abandoned us, or our parents are divorced, or, you know, they were quite toxic themselves, and you take on much of their characteristics because they are, you know, your window to marriage and to how you diffuse the situation. So if you have been traumatized and you're not married yet, my advice to you would be go and seek the help through a sheikh, through a Muslim, probably counselor who understands human behavior, understands trauma, understands anxiety, and will help you unpack, you know, your problems in a way that ensures that it doesn't impact, inshallah ta'ala, the marriage, right? And we see this popping up, and there was a saying that I came across, and I found this saying to be so true. And that saying is, if you don't heal what hurt you, you will bleed all over those who never cut you. Right, so that you are going to be causing damage because of your insecurities or because of your trauma and what you've been through prior to the marriage, right? So it's really important, if you do have unresolved issues, get the help that you can, because otherwise, do you know where it shows up? Most of the time it shows up in the marriage. Once you get married, it shows up in your behavior, all right? And you might start causing injustice to your partner, or you cause injustice to yourself, or both of you, inshallah ta'ala. Some of us, you know, we have a lot of us have anger issues. That's the reality that I see. Many couples that I counsel, there's always anger management, anger issues. So one of the things that you want to do, you want to start, like I said, use the word obsess, because you now are intentional about doing the work that needs to be done to ensure, inshallah ta'ala, that you are going to be the best version of yourself as a husband, as a father, inshallah ta'ala, as a Muslim. We have akhlaq, we have mannerisms, we have the Quran and Sunnah to regulate our behaviors, inshallah ta'ala. So yes, and when it comes to unresolved issues, there's going to be coming into the marriage what we call check-in baggage, or what we call carry-on baggage. You don't want to bring check-in baggage to your marriage. That's too heavy, that's too big. You want to have sorted that out, right? Carry-on baggage means, yeah, I've got some issues, I'm not perfect, I'm not an angel, so therefore I'm going to have some problems, but I'm open to the idea of always working on myself, because I want to be the best version of myself that I can be, inshallah ta'ala, right? One of the things that I see quite often is individuals that have a personality type that is known as narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissistic personality disorder, NPD, الشخصية النرجسية. And what that is, a narcissistic person is a very, lacks empathy, very selfish, not considerate. In the world of psychology, where they put a person with a narcissistic personality disorder, they put them under, they have like headings, they might have like psychopath, sociopath, narcissist. That's where they put them. Now, from the Islamic perspective, we as Muslims, we all know the hadith, love for others what you love for yourself. We have a concept called ithar, that we are there always helping others. We're considerate, we're empathetic, we're sympathetic. That's how we need to be as Muslims. And often when we look at, when we do the research into narcissistic personality disorder, we see that this has a lot to do with those who are in a state of an-nafsul ammara. And nafsul ammara is the nafs that is commanding to do sin, right? If you're in that state, then that could lead to narcissism and behaviors of narcissism, right? So it's important to be, inshallah ta'ala, in a state whereby you are ensuring and intentional about always having the best of akhlaq. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I've been sent to perfect good moral character. Right? So we need to ensure that we have the best of akhlaq to our family members. الْأَقْرَبُونَ أَوْلَى بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Right? Our kith, our kin, our relatives, the people around us, they are most deserving of our good treatment. We don't go giving the stranger the best of our treatment and love and mercy and, you know, affection and compassion and empathy and sympathy, and then we come home and we give our family members our scraps and we give them our leftovers. That's not how it is. Right? What does Allah Azza wa Jalla say when He spoke about the relationship between the husband and wife? He says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He put between you both mawadda, which is affection and mercy. Mawadda is not just love. You can love someone, but that love is just in your heart. It doesn't go nowhere. I love this person. I love that shaykh. I love that. But that's it. I don't do anything about it. Mawadda means demonstrative love. That I demonstrate the love that I have towards my partner through my sacrifices, through my words, through my actions. Right? So that's something to remember, inshaAllah ta'ala, mawadda wa rahmah. From amongst the contributors that could lead to divorce is not spending time with your spouse. Especially the wives, they complain how husbands are not spending time with them. Okay? Now, you know, subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was approached by Abu Darda when one day Salman, he visited Abu Darda. He saw Umm Darda. Umm Darda had sort of neglected herself. And he said to her, you know, why are you like this? And she said, your brother Abu Darda, he's only into worship. He just wants to worship. He's not really into me. Yani, that's what he cares about. And anyway, Salman stays over. He sleeps the night. He gets Abu Darda to break his fast, to not pray all night, to go to sleep. And then he said to him, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقًّا. Allah has rights. Yourself has rights. Your body has rights. Your family have rights. Give each their due right. This is teaching us the concept of being disciplined. This is teaching us the concept of being balanced as Muslims. That it's not just all worship and no fun, or no time for the family, or all fun and no worship. We have to find the balance. We have to find that balance. Because part of being a human being, we want to have some entertainment. If we look at our ibadah, okay, look at our ibadah. Is it just salah? No. It's also fasting. Is it just fasting and salah? No, it's hajj. Is it just hajj and fasting and salah? No, it's sadaqah, right? It's umrah, it's dhikr. Why? So we don't get bored, right? Likewise, your spouse wants married you to spend time together. They want, that's, the human being loves, yani al-insan, they say, is min al-uns. Al-uns, yata'anas. Yani, I want someone to join me. When Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was in jail, he had two people that entertained him and was interpreting the dreams and what have you. He had, subhanAllah, he had someone just to talk to. Okay, imagine now your wife, right? She's at home all day and she's with the children, and you know the children can be challenging, and she just would love to have a cup of tea with you at the end of the night. Yeah, I mean, subhanAllah, just being intentional about that and balancing your time, bi-idhnillah, inshallah, that could lead to an emotional connection. Because I'll tell you something about women. Women find it very difficult to be intimate, to be physically connected with the husband if there's no emotional connection. And so when the husband comes complaining, hey, my wife doesn't get intimate with me, she doesn't give me my right, straight away off the cuff, you can tell that there's more to the story than she just doesn't want to fulfill the right. Okay, it's about her feeling emotionally connected to you, and the world becomes your oyster, right? So this is a different story from, hey, you know, it's my God-given right, and if she doesn't, the angels will curse her. We know the hadiths. We know the hadith about if she's at the oven or she's on top of the writing camel. We know all of that. We're not talking about black and white. Yani, you know, that's my right, man. I'm your husband. You have to. Yani, you know what I'm trying to say, right? But we're saying, Habibi, why don't you, as a husband, just get more connected to her? Listen to her. What does she want? She wants a bit of your time. Give her time. Yeah, I mean, what is it that's going to make her feel emotionally connected? Do you really want to be intimate with your spouse in a way that she's not into it? If that's what you want, each to their own. Okay? But you want the experience to be, subhanAllah, to be a good experience, inshallah, for the both of you. So this is something to think about. Balance your time. Give, have these quality moment time. I call them we time moments throughout the week. Yeah, I mean, there's we time moments for your wife. And guess what? If you commit to those we time moments, right, with your wife, inshallah ta'ala, with your husband, then what's going to happen? There's that emotional connection. The physical connection becomes organic. All right, inshallah ta'ala. So let's go on to another one of the contributors that can lead to divorce. Number 9 is there's a lack of communication between the spouses. Communication of your needs, of your boundaries, of what you want and what you don't want. There needs to be good communication throughout the relationship, especially from the very beginning. From the get-go of the relationship, you need to communicate. What do you want and what don't you want? Make it very clear. I don't like this. I like this. I have insecurities here. You need to communicate. So there needs to be a communication of expectation, of rules, of roles in this marriage. Who does what? Keep the communication going, inshallah ta'ala. And subhanAllah, the problem with communication, many of us are not good communicators. And that's why when Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, We know in the famous incident, he said, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So he wanted to ensure that when he went to Fir'aun, that he was delivering good speech so that the speech was understood. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So a lot of the times there's a miscommunication, or the communication is not very clear, or there's room for interpretation, right? So do your best to communicate your message in the best possible way, insha'Allah ta'ala, so there's no misunderstanding. Do your best to communicate in the best possible way, insha'Allah ta'ala. We move on, insha'Allah ta'ala, to another one that could be a problem, and that is friends. Friends. Okay, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. Or as the Arabic proverb goes, قُلْ لِمَنْ تُصَاحِبْ أَقُلْ لَكَ مَنْ أَنْتُ. Or أَصَّاحِبُ سَاحِبْ. That your companion, he will drag you. He will pull you in this direction or that direction. Or as they say, friends are like lifts. They can take you up or bring you down. Better than all of this are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. He said, a person is on the way, on the path of his close friend, خليل. فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. See, who are you befriending? In that incident that I mentioned earlier about the brother who went to a club, he was going, the wife said to me, he's friends. He's hanging out with these guys, and I've told him not to hang out with these guys, right? And likewise with the sisters, sometimes they have bad friends. They don't listen to the husband. The husband says, I don't want you to spend time with this woman. I don't want you talking to this woman. He has the right. He has the right to make this, yani subhanAllah, this instruction. So again, friends become very problematic and can lead to dysfunctional relationship and ultimately to divorce. So this is something to remember, insha'Allah ta'ala. Another one, number 11, is comparing your relationship to others. So now you go and you're on social media and you see all these photos on Instagram and they're all photoshopped, you know that. And everyone's always smiling and everyone's got their most beautiful shot and their most beautiful garment, and you think they always look like that. Picture perfect family, right? It always looks like that, but it doesn't. That's not reality. That's not the truth, right? As if no one's got problems. Every single relationship has challenges, right? There must be. Almost every single one would probably have. I don't know the ghaib, I don't know every relationship. But it's how you manage that relationship, right? Everyone's going through something. So therefore, stop comparing your relationship to others. Had you been in that relationship, it could have been probably a disaster. You need to accept what Allah has decreed for you. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. I'm not telling you to be a pushover. You have standards, you have boundaries, insha'Allah ta'ala, and that is very, very important, and you do not compare what's going on with somebody else's relationship. You don't know the full of it, and if you have issues, then you fix your relationship. Okay, and don't go yani threatening your wife. Look, that's it. You know, I had a couple recently come in, and you know, things have been a little bit rocky for some time. So what's his solution? I'm going to go and marry a second wife. Do you really think that is a solution? You really think, just stop for a moment. You know, do you really think that's going to solve the problem for this woman, or it's going to create more anxiety? It actually created more anxiety in her, and she started threatening the divorce. That's not the outcome that we want, and there's children involved. Okay, so on the topic of you know, this whole second wife thing, if you're going to do it, then you do it properly. You don't do it, you know, hush-hush behind your wife's back, and, you know, subhanAllah, you know, you do it in a way that you're very secretive, and then she finds out through friends, or she finds out through your phone. And then what happens? You're either going to divorce the second wife, or you're going to divorce the first wife, or you're going to divorce both of them. That's what we see happening. Do things properly. Do things properly with wisdom. Don't be a dodgy person. Be a decent human being that can be honest with your partner and say, look, I want to do this. If you want to stay, you stay. You don't want to stay, that's your prerogative. The last point I want to touch on, insha'Allah ta'ala, before we go right into your questions, is we have so many compounding issues, right? There's too many issues that haven't been dealt with. One of the things that you want to do in this instance is identify your pain points in the relationships. What are you not happy about? And start discussing them, having a dialogue with your partner, so that insha'Allah you can come to an amicable agreement. You can come to a solution without letting this all of these issues pile up, because it's going to lead to resentment. The resentment is going to lead to rejection, and you're going to feel emotionally disconnected. So these are some of the reasons that I wanted to just share with you that I experience on a day-to-day with many couples coming in for counseling, and some of the things that we're discussing in the counseling room around the relationship challenges. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all your relationships, number one, halal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them healthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drive away the shaitan from you, because that's, you know, that's what the shaitan knows, that if I can separate between these two, I can cause collateral damage, and it just has this really ripple effect on your mental health, on your physical health, on your wealth, on your focus, on your worship, on your children. You don't want that. You don't want that. You want to ensure that you stay married, inshallah, happily married. But in saying all of that, divorce is not haram, and often divorce is a solution to a problem. And the ulama did say that divorce is makruh. They said it's disliked, right? Because of the implications of divorce, right? That we said, and the ripple effect that it has. But in some cases, divorce is the only solution, right? We have to remember this, that it's, and if a person is divorced, it doesn't mean that they are a bad person, not necessarily. It just means that it didn't work out. It means they were not on the same page. It means that they grew. One person, maybe they met each other and they were really off the deen, and then they got onto the deen. And then what did they do, inshallah ta'ala? One of them got onto the deen and the other one didn't. And the other person said, I can't continue. I don't want to raise my children or bring children into a relationship where there's no deen and you don't want to come on board. That could be the case. So we have to be very careful with how we are assessing people who are divorced, and we don't know the whole entire story. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Inshallah, we have some questions.
For the sisters who are downstairs, there is a number that you can SMS your questions to. We'll get that here from Salah Fahd, so someone's first phone. So sisters, send your questions there. We'll request for brothers and sisters on our social media to ask questions before tonight, so we'll take those questions, Shem.
Yeah, how long have we got until Isha prayer?
We've got half an hour.
Beautiful.
So I know there's one question that the brothers are constantly asked, but we'll do that
later. It always pops up, that one.
Alright, first question. Assalamualaikum, what is the sunnah way to divorce someone? I heard that once a person gives one divorce, he must continue and get the other two more while waiting a month of each until he reaches all three.
Walaikum as-salam. Yes, so when it comes to divorce, there is bid'i divorce and sunnah divorce. Okay, an innovative way to divorce and a sunnah divorce. Number one, if you are contemplating divorce, never contemplate divorce when you were in a state of anger. Learn to back off, learn to walk away. Okay, now of course the scholars did say that if you are in a state of high level anger, and there's difference of opinion about this, right? Anywhere between middle range anger to high range anger, they said this doesn't take place because there's a hadith of Prophet ﷺ said, لا طلاق في إغلاق. That there's no binding divorce when a person is in a state of ikhlaq, which is the mind is not really thinking straight. They're in a really perturbed state, angry state. Okay, so I would say never make a permanent decision from a temporary situation. Do not weaponize divorce just because you're angry. Just don't even go there. Yani, don't go there with threatening to divorce. It's not nice between a husband and wife to always take out the divorce weapon and say, I'm going to threaten you with divorce. I don't think that's the right way to do it. I think talk it through when you're calm. Make sure, maybe can we solve it? Can we talk? Can we bring in a third party? Can we arbitrate? Can we mediate? Until we've spoken to everybody, we've got every sheikh in town, and we've got every mediator and counselor, it's not working. Khalas. Now, the sunnah. Number one, she's not in her period. Number two, there has not been jima'. There has been no intercourse since her last period. So she has to be in a state of what's called purity. She needs to be in a state of tuhur. Right, so she's not in her period. There's been a state of, there's been no intercourse since the last period. Now you say to her once and once only, anti taliq, you are divorced. Now she's going into her iddah. The iddah of the one that you're divorcing is three menstrual cycles, irrespective of how long the cycle is. She gets her cycle once, she gets her cycle second time, she gets her cycle third time. It's still not over. She has to have the shower, and now it's over. Now that's one strike. In that period of time, the husband has the upper hand to take back his wife. He says to her, رَجَعْتِكْ إِلَى ذِمَّتِي. He has intercourse with her with the intention of going back. He hugs her, says, I'm really sorry, and everything's like, you know, we're going back. Khalas, you're back. Within the iddah period, if it's a first or a second divorce. If it's a third time divorce and you do that, khalas, you can't go back until she remarries. She has intercourse with the new husband. They get divorced, then you can remarry her, right? The other thing is, in some communities, we are in a global community. In some communities, like especially the Desi cultures, like India, Pakistan, they actually do divorce three times in one go. So in their system, you go divorce, divorce, divorce. Now there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars regarding this divorce. Is it three or is it one? At the time of the Prophet ﷺ and during the time of Abu Bakr's Khilafah and during the first 2 years of Umar ibn Khattab's Khilafah, that was only considered one. And the Talib, 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 one. When Umar saw that the people were having, when people were not taking this matter very seriously, he said, that's it. He's the Khalifa. And he said, three equals three. So it was Umar ibn Khattab who introduced this. But we go back to the asl. And the asl is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his time was only considered once. And look, there's so many differences of opinion about how this can actually pan out, by the way. Because there's another issue. What the husband does, he says to her, you're divorced. And then some period passes by in the iddah period, and he comes and he says to her, you're divorced again. Now, is that a second divorce or not? The scholars differed. Why? They say, how could he be divorcing her for the second time when she's already divorced, hasn't taken her back to divorce her again? You with me? So here, the ulama, depending on which scholars you're going to ask, which continent you're going to have differences of opinion. Wallahu ta'ala, have you answered the question or have I missed something? Did I answer that question? Yes.
There's a follow-up to that.
Okay.
So the follow-up to that is two other questions that are related. One is, if you divorce your wife while she's pregnant and decide to take her back, before the child is even birthed to, does that count as a divorce? And the other thing that would be if a woman seeks support from her husband, is that count as a divorce?
So with regards to the pregnant woman, if her husband divorces his wife during pregnancy, that's still a binding divorce. When is her iddah? Does anyone know when the iddah is? Is it 3 months? 4 months, 10 days? Khilaf, mashallah. Okay, no, okay. The right answer, so we just save some time. When she delivers that baby, her iddah ends. Yani, you divorce her now, she delivers the baby after 1 hour, her iddah has ended. She delivers the baby 9 months later, that's her iddah, 9 months. Okay, now, that's pregnancy. Khulu'. Khulu' is when the wife is initiating the divorce. She's saying to the husband, look, I don't want to be with you. The husband says to her, you don't want to be with me. Okay, I'm not divorcing you. Why should I be out of pocket in terms of the mahar? Because there could be a deferred amount of mahar that's payable. So he says to her, do you forfeit your mahar? Do you forfeit your dowry or part of your dowry? She says, well, yes, I don't want anything from you. I grant you your khulu'. Now, the khulu', this is where it's different to the divorce. The khulu' falls under a category in the annulment of the marriage called fasakh. And the iddah of khulu' is only one menstrual cycle or 1 month. She doesn't have her cycle, right? Different to 3 months. And what's different is that the husband can't take her back during that month. They have to redo the marriage contract. And on top of that, if it's not counted as one of the three divorces, if they go back to each other with a new contract. Does that make sense? That's the khulu'. That's the ruling regarding the khulu'. Wallahu a'lam. Her iddah is one menstrual cycle or 1 month. There is some difference of opinion, but if you do the research, you'll see that it's only one menstrual cycle.
Does the new contract allow you to three more times after divorce? Or?
Yes, yes. With khulu', you still have three divorces because it's not counted as one of the three divorces. It's separate.
If somebody divorces one once, and then she got a khulu' and then they got remarried, does that bring the three back on?
No, you still have, and this is where sometimes it gets a bit scholarly difference, but what it seems like, Allahu A'lam, there is still that divorce. There's still that divorce. You still only have two if you take her back after the khulu'. Allahu A'lam.
Can I take a question from the sisters? So one of the sisters is asking, I can't look it up, but it says, Assalamu alaikum, brother. Can you message the husband when he's angry and continues? And that the husband always thought that the lady is not appropriate. He always thought he made a mistake to marry her, where Allah made him appear.
So the first thing is, wa yakum alaikum assalam, sister. The first thing is, when you're angry and you're having a dispute, or even if you're not angry, if there's a disputing matter, do not do it through text, because communication is also body language, and it's also your intonation. Okay, I can say, how are you? Say, how are you? It's like, what are you angry for? Like, see, that voice plays a role. In text messages, you can't see a lot of that. So avoid texting when you're mad, when you're angry. The message is not going to be very clear or could be misinterpreted. From what it sounds like, the husband, what do you make of that question, Abu Said?
I think he's trying to get away, but she's chasing him.
She's chasing him, but he's always ignoring her. Well, maybe the question is, do you really want to be with a man who doesn't want to be with you? Wallahu a'lam. But I would suggest get some help first. I think it's not about connecting emotionally during the intimacy. It's about being emotionally connected before the intimacy for the intimacy to be a good experience. Right? It happens, you see, really it happens during the day. It happens through your respect. At the end of the day, what does every husband want? He wants to be respected. You need to respect your man. You need to validate him. He works hard, he's out laboring, he's stressing out. He's really trying to make it work. He wants to provide for you and for the children. Just give him a word of jazakallahu khairan. You know, one of the best things that you can do for a man is to show him ihtimam. Ihtam bifi, like show him that you care about him. Like just a basic meal, a basic message. Maybe sometimes, you know, you dress up for him, right? That ihtimam means a lot to a man. That makes him feel emotionally connected, that you actually acknowledge me and you prioritize me, and it's not just the cooking and cleaning or just the children. Yani, recently I wrote a post, prioritize your spouse, husband or wife, more than you prioritize your children, okay? And if you don't do that, your husband or your wife's not going to be happy and your children are not going to be happy, because organically you're going to look after your children. It's going to happen organically, but there's more effort required to your spouse. So I would say that be intentional about that emotional connection before the intimate act, during the day. For the husband, it's respect. For the wife, it's love. It's ensuring that you're working with her love language. What does she want? She wants time, give her time. She likes surprises and a gift, buy her a gift. She wants for you to help her out, help her out. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Aisha was asked, what did she say? She said, كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He was at the service of his family members, right? I hope that answers that question, inshallah. Fadal, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for your time. I posted last time, before that I said something, inshallah. It's a very alarming time for Muslim community. I live in Cameroon, coming here, you know, when I got the news, so I'm very serious to participate in this gathering. So I talked to many sheikhs that, like any Muslim, even if he's less practicing, he go to many seminar, Muslim, many seminar. But still, I don't know, we have developed some video, like many scenario, many cases, like why divorce is coming, like many issues, this. So before they go married, they have to follow that course. So I request you, humbly request you, you can gather all that very seminar and develop a video before they get married. So it will be helpful. It is nowadays divorce is happening, doesn't matter, new couple, one children, two children, up to seven and eight children, I know. I have to go some cases for counseling. I am not professional, but still I try to help them.
JazakAllah khair.
But I help them. But my question is, I'm coming to another conclusion. So many reasons. I know, even there are sick, there is no shake, there are no. Recently my daughter married. She's with her new husband. She found out many things. She said this permission she gave. I was very happy for that. Very good. But it's secret. There is many secret. Only they say it is not adjusting. Not adjusting. They say only divorce.
Not what?
Not adjusting.
Not adjusting. Yeah.
But there is behind that. There is a secret something.
Even problems like secrets, like they've got issues that they're not disclosing. They're not disclosing. JazakAllah khairan.
Okay, now we go final question. Like when we marry, according to Islam, but when the divorce, it is. My belief is not Islamically divorce happening because they got the share for that. Well, this is they're making according to the Australian government rules.
Very
so
good.
How does that marry like a divorce?
Okay. So you've mentioned that. I think there's three points there. The first point is around knowledge. And one of the best things that you can do for your children, if you've missed the boat, is make sure they really understand their role and in the relationship as a husband or as a wife, what that looks like from the Islamic lens, number one, what it looks like to enter human behavior. So one of the things, alhamdulillah, that Allah blessed me to do, because I've been in this space for a long time, I've compiled a marriage course. So I have an online marriage course that consists of 117 videos, right? And they're short videos, but it combines between the Islamic lens and looking at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when it comes to marriage, and looking at modern day research around human behavior and psychology, and sort of coming and integrating the both to ensure a happy marriage. In Malaysia, in the early 90s, they looked at the divorce statistics and they saw that the statistics were sitting in the high 30%. Then the government made it mandatory to do a pre-marriage counseling course of sort, or else you cannot get married. They made it mandatory. 10 years later, the divorce statistic went down to under 10%. The only thing that changed is now we've got knowledge, we've got the tools, we've got the strategies. I know how to communicate. I know why my husband does what he's doing. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I've got issues. I've got anger management issues. I've got separation anxiety. I don't have, that's what it is. It's about having that understanding on how to be as a husband, as a wife. And one of the best things that you can do if you're about to get married or you're married and you're going through a very challenging marriage is to learn, is to unlearn and to relearn. That's the first point. The second point is, yes, if you've got issues, we spoke about having unresolved issues, or you've got things, don't bring them into the marriage, disclose them before the marriage. Make sure that you disclose them. If you don't disclose them, they're going to show up in the marriage. So make sure you're communicating your expectations and your needs, and you're asking all the right questions, inshallah ta'ala. The third point that you made was around divorce and turning to the non-Islamic system. A very valid point and a very important point here. The only thing that a woman is allowed to ask for from the Islamic perspective, when her husband divorces her, is her mahar, number one, her dowry, if he divorced her, that he hasn't paid her mahar, or number two, any financial contributions that she has physically made from her own money to the property, to the car, to the asset, she's entitled to her percentage, that's her money. And apart from that, she can't come asking for 50%. She can't come asking for that which is not hers. That's oppression. She's causing injustice to herself and injustice to her husband. And that's dhulm. So women need to be very, very mindful about this particular point. If that's what you want, if you want 50% of his assets or 50% of the home, then you say so at the time of the contract. And either he agrees or he disagrees. But to come and ask for something that's not Islamically yours and to go down the route of the civil system, that's not Islam. Does that answer the question?
Why are you calling? Just a question for brothers that are asking questions, leave the slides and short questions, please. So I think anyone wants to ask a question, brothers that are all around the walkway, so just raise your hand and brother will take a question.
Just send out,
brother. What we distinguish as a test and what's a result of our sins. If we're going through something that's a result of our sins, as you said, I think in one of the earlier ones, if you classify.
Yes, I mean, we do have in the Quran. We do have in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَّبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever of misfortune befalls you is due to what your own hands have earned. And we do have in the Quran, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. So sometimes you're being tested, and that test is to wake you up. that test, you have to ask yourself, what I'm going through now, am I doing something that I shouldn't be, or should I be doing something that I'm not doing? And then the test comes, and then you remember, we say, well, most likely that's the test. It's testing you so you can turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So in most of the cases, it's the test is to make things better. So I'll give you an example. I had a couple that came in, and the husband and the wife came in, and the husband, she told me how her husband was seeing escorts. Right? Sorry, I have a lot of different cases, right? And she discovered it on his iPad and what have you, and that's it. And she, that's her love of her life. They have a good relationship. They have an actual good relationship, but you know, he doesn't pray, she doesn't pray. And then we started talking and talking. I said to her, sister, maybe you needed to go through this to pray. Isn't it better that you found this out and you're going through this test now, and then you're sitting in front of me and I'm telling you, you better start praying for the sake of Allah. Now you've got a chance to go to Jannah. Or would you prefer to spend the rest of your life in this state where you're not praying, okay, and no calamity is happening to wake you up? What would you prefer? You'd be on your way to Jahannam if Allah will, or would you prefer to go through this test and go to Jannah? She said, I prefer this test because I'm not, because she had started praying. She had started praying after this calamity. So I think we have to look at it this way, inshallah ta'ala, and ask, it depends on a case-to-case scenario. Allahu a'lam.
That's lovely. My brother's asking, what advice do you give a woman that constantly uses anything that she hears in the lecture, which to her understanding fits the criteria of her husband's shortcomings, although these shortcomings are committed by herself and more?
Yeah, double standards. Don't be hypocritical and weaponize the hadiths and the ayat to prove a point. I think there should be a gentle dialogue between a husband and a wife. Right? There needs to be that mawadda. There needs to be that rahmah. There needs to be that gentleness. I think change your strategy, sister. I don't think if that's what she's doing, she should change the way. That's not going to bring. Is that going to make the hearts closer or disconnected? That's the question you have to ask. Is what I'm about to say right now, is it going to make the situation better or worse? What does Allah say in the Quran? He says, "Idfa billati hiya ahsan, fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun ka'annahu waliyyun hamim." He says, repel that which is negative, billati hiya ahsan, not worse. And subhanAllah, how Allah says, fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawa, you will see between the one you and them there is enmity, adawa, ka'annahu waliyyun hamim. You will be as if you are very close, friends. If you apply ahsan, the ulama, the mufassirun, they said, if you're not getting the desired result regarding your disputes and your altercations, then you did not apply ahsan. You were not either sincere, you were not using best practices, you were not using wisdom. So go back and check your methodology. How are you dealing with your husband, with your spouse, to correct the situation? Wallahu a'lam. Okay, bismillah.
This might not need hands. Brother's asking, and sister's asking, we'll put this together, inshallah. Do I need my wife's permission to get a second wife?
Cool.
If she finds out you're a girl for the horse and sister asks
him, take off my jacket for this one.
Then, can I say the horse?
Inshallah, it looks like we're going to have to end off on this question, probably. So does the husband need the permission of the wife? The answer categorically is no. He doesn't need the permission of his wife to marry a second. All right. But is that wise? Is it really wise that you're just going to go and do it? And have you thought about the ramifications and the impact that's going to have on her and the children? So it's not about permission. I think we missed the point. I don't think this is an issue of permission. But to answer the question, we answered it. The answer is, husband does not need the permission. But think about the ramifications and the ripple effect that this is going to have. So let me give you some examples. Let's talk on the ground here, real talk, right? No theory, right? On the ground. So I had, I know of a brother. He married in secret. He was married in secret for 2 years. He was a shift worker. He can get away with it, right? And he decided, it's about time I drop it. I tell it to her. His wife is, we'll call her, she has no family here. He has children from her, 3 or 4 children. He's a good looking guy. He's a dawah worker. He's financially very stable, right? So he tells her, I got married. He finally tells her, long story short, he tells her, I got married. She hit the ground. She collapsed. The ambulance hits 100. They take her to the hospital. Next thing, all she does, khulu. I'm not entertaining this. He decided to divorce, to grant her the khulu. Because we tried mediation, intervention. She was not having a bar of it, right? So then, subhanAllah, he stayed with the second one. Then I would ask him year after year, he's somebody that I know, I say, how's it going? Did you manage to win her back over or what? Not yet. I'll see her, I'll visit her with the kids, everything. It's like as if we're married, but we're not married. All because I'm married to the other one. Like, what happens next? It gets very interesting. Years pass by, he has a few children from this woman. And what does he do? He does the same thing, but with another woman. Are you with me? All right. And then subhanAllah, what does she do? She turns on him. Get rid of her or I'm out. He left his first wife for her. And now that he's done it to her, she wants to leave. And she left him and she dragged the kids into it. So the thing is as well, a lot of the times what happens with our sisters, may Allah guide them, they use the children. They use the children against their father. And that's very dangerous and that's haram. Right? I had another brother. So many stories, but just to answer the, just to show you where this can go. Another brother, he came to me for advice and he said to me, he has his sweetheart, that was high school sweetheart, married to her for a long time, very good relationship, but he had a very high libido. And his wife said to him, he said to her, I can't keep up with you, man, right? He goes, okay, well, if you want to go marry a second, you go marry a second. So he marries a second. What do you think happens next? The first wife says, no, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. Please divorce her. Long story, by the way, he divorces the other one. So can you see where this is going? Mind you, she told him to do it. So even the woman herself, she doesn't even know what she's getting herself into sometimes. She might have good intentions. And then he comes back to her and she goes, no, I can't handle this. Go marry again. He goes, what do you mean? I've done it the first time and now you want me to go back again? She goes, yeah, please. And guess what? He does it and we have the same problem again. You can't win. So if you're going to do it, you really, really need to, your wife really, really needs to be on board if you don't want to spoil that family unit and your children and what have you. Do you need her permission? No. But do you want to maintain that family unit? And you know the stress that comes out of it. I've asked people who are married to in a polygynous relationship, was it worth it? And a lot of the times they say, no, it's not worth it. The stress, the headache, the focus that comes with it, it's just not worth it. We don't live in a day and age where it's the norm. For hundreds of years, it was the norm, right? But not in, you're living in the West and you have all of these, the feminist movement and you have all of these movements and campaigns. You don't stand a very strong chance. Wallahu ta'ala, I hope we did justice to the question. Oh, yes. Yeah, what am I asking? Oh, okay. We've got some gifts to give away, inshallah, real quickly. I'm going to ask a question. And you get it right? Yep. Okay. So, let's go. Bismillah. What have we got here? MashaAllah. Rams Latafa. Wow. Okay. You going to help with a question, Abu Sayyid? That's an easy one, huh? Who can answer this question for me? What is one way to ensure an emotional connection with your spouse? Yes?
Buying flowers once a month.
Well, what if she doesn't like flowers? Is that going to create an emotional connection? Is it? What if she likes the flowers?
She
likes flowers, your wife? It's working for you? It's working? Khalas, yalla, bismillah. MashaAllah, may Allah bless your marriage. You better talk her language, by the way. Sometimes women don't like flowers. They don't like jewelry. They want you to spend time. That's what it is. Who can give me two of some of the reasons that I mentioned in the list of the causes for the potential causes for divorce? Yes, brother. Family interference. Infidelity, bismillah. MashaAllah, can you give it to the brother over there? Last question, inshaAllah ta'ala. What is considered talaq bid'i? Talaq bid'i, an innovated divorce. Over there. Sorry? Three together is, we did speak about that, but I want a bit more specific apart from that.
Giving it during the termination that you called, 1 month after the menstrual, or she's in the purity.
Yep, if she's not in a state of purity in her menses, you divorce her, that's bid'i. And she has to be in, to divorce her, does she have to be in purity?
Yes.
So, no, there's been no intimacy. Correct, yes, JazakAllah khairan. Barakallahu feekum and JazakumAllahu khairan. And may Allah bless Al Madina Dawah Center and the great work that you guys are doing, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all sincere and may Allah bless us with beneficial knowledge and bless our relationships. Wallah, my brothers and my sisters, invest in your marriage because once you're happily married, it will show up in every area. If you're not happily married, I get grown men in my office crying. I get grown men, all sorts of, hardships. It's not easy. Don't undermine what a toxic relationship or divorce can do to you. Prioritize, inshallah, and follow in the lead of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khairan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.